Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Isn't the sunshine lovely?
Yes, it is, isn't it?
Big warm welcome to you all, especially if you're a guest, a visitor here this morning, and to all those that are joining us live on Zoom, big warm welcome to you as well. Were you all excited when you got up this morning? Did you think, yes, it's Sunday, yes, we get to go to church today? Well, you clearly did, John. I'm not sure about the rest of you. I certainly was. Pardon? We do, yes. And I'll explain that in a moment. But let me first get through the business of some notices. First and foremost, for the young people, there is no Sunday social this morning for you. But there are some clipboards down at the front here if you wish to come and indulge in whatever. I don't even know what's in them. I haven't looked, but that's a mystery. The Sunday social rooms are open if any of you need to go out, but what we would ask is that mums and dads, you need to supervise your young ones in the Sunday social rooms. But we think you might enjoy staying in today, because we have two very, very special guests with us. So I want you all to say thank you and a warm welcome to Whit and Helen, who are here. They're genuine, real bona fide missionaries. So thank you so much for being here this morning. Also, after the service this morning, there's not going to be tea and coffee immediately after the service, because we're having lunch immediately after the service. And you're all welcome to stay, join with us together, and just enjoy some fellowship together. So please do stay and enjoy that. Also, just need to remind you that church members meeting on the 19th of June, 7:30. It's our AGM. Very important that you all come along. We'll be voting in and voting for the nominations for various leadership positions within the church. So those that have been nominated are myself, Matt Moore, Pam Poole, James Putt, Simon Bilcombe, Laura Staves. Those are all the deacons. Annalisa is obviously church secretary. And Graham Thomas has agreed to step into the role of treasurer. And I'm very grateful for him being willing to do that. And I'm very grateful because there is also a treasury team being set up to make the burden a little bit more manageable. So praise the Lord for all of you that have come forward and volunteered into those positions. Also, I just want to let you know that Whit's brought with him a whole load of bits and pieces to do with BMS, Leaflets, World Mission, and the work that they do. And also, too many things to hold there. Also, in the meeting room afterwards, there's going to be a prayer sheet. You can, if you wish to have updates from BMS, and so we can keep track of what Whit and Helen are doing, but also what they need prayer for. I think we should do this. We need to be supportive in prayer. Most powerful thing we can do. So if you wish to participate in that, please sign up on the sheet in the meeting room afterwards, and we will continue to receive information from them about what they need prayer for. So, that's got the business out of the way. We should get down with the bit we really came here for, which was to worship. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord Jesus, we've gathered here in your name. We've come from our busy, messy, broken lives, and we're seeking you, Lord. We need your strength. We seek your goodwill. But Lord, sometimes our desire, well, it gets weak and it falls over and it fails. And sometimes, Lord, we're not very faithful. Help us, Lord, to steer away from the temptations and lead us into your good and pleasing will for us. Help us to encounter you this morning, Lord, and bless our time of worship and grant us willing ears to hear, open hearts to receive, and a passion to worship in the Spirit, Father God. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I picked a verse this morning. Really, what I should do is just turn around and say, so what day is it today then? Excuse me. It is, it's Father's Day, isn't it? Bit irrelevant really, isn't it? You know, Father's Day. Do we need fathers? Of course we need fathers. So I picked a line of scripture. Does anybody know what's special about Malachi 4:6? Ooh, I thought a couple of you more theologically bound would have jumped out. It's the last verse in the Old Testament. So this is Malachi 4:6. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers. It's the last verse in the Old Testament. Yes. Many years would pass after this verse, after this prophecy, before we would begin the New Testament. What happened to the nation of Israel? They became a nation of unbelievers. They broke up into all sorts of different groups and factions. They started arguing with each other about who was doing it right and who was doing it wrong. And then God sent a new messenger that would come and bring the people back to faith. Faith and obedience to Jesus enables us to enables and brings about harmony. Good fathers are essential, aren't they, for fostering love, stability and guidance within families. They play a pivotal role in nurturing the hearts of the children, demonstrating compassion, strength and wisdom. Fathers serve as a cornerstone for teaching values such as respect, integrity and responsibility, paving the way for their children to grow into confident and moral individuals. In times of uncertainty or difficulty, good fathers provide reassurance and steadfastness, reflecting the love and care of our Heavenly Father. Okay, so now fathers just got serious, didn't they? It's a big responsibility. We need good fathers. Unfortunately, we live in a world where I feel as though fatherhood has taken a little bit of a hit. It's not seen as being so important anymore. It's a shame. Many of the world's problems, I think, would be less if we had more good fathers. You see, a father is a presence in the family to mirror God's design for harmony. And that's as what this reference in Malachi 4:6 is. When the turning of hearts, or should I say, where the turning of hearts symbolizes restoration and unity. In a world that's divided and troubled, good fathers can act as peacemakers, bridging gaps between generations, strengthening the bonds of family. They inspire faith and obedience. Oh, all the kids shudder at that word, don't they? Obedience. Do you all obey your fathers? You don't have much choice because he's here. Well, sometimes. Yeah, my dad's sitting over there. He's probably laughing as well, thinking, yeah, I didn't either. Yeah, look, he's, I'm getting the look. Yeah, and sometimes as children we're not very obedient, are we? But, you know, fathers encourage their families. Most great thing they can do is to encourage their families to walk in an unwavering trust in God's plan. So the music group are going to come up now, and we're going to sing a couple of songs, and I'll leave you with this thought about good fathers. So let's stand and sing together as we praise and honour our Heavenly Father by singing to Him. Let's join together. Stand with me. We can sing. Open the eyes of our heart, Lord, because we need to be open this morning to receive His message, His Spirit and His will and His guidance for us. want to stand in your presence now, Lord, because you are holy, you are good, you are perfect. We thank you that we can come into this space and simply focus on you. Open the eyes to our heart, because you are a great and merciful, a great Father, Lord. You teach us so much. You've shown us the way to come back into your loving arms, Father God. And we just want to rejoice in your greatness and your goodness, Lord, because you didn't leave us here tied up and bound up in our sin, Lord. But you came and you set us free. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Lift up our voices and lift up our praise. Are you going to say it? Are you?
Sorry.
Yeah, so Helen is a post-surgery, aren't you?
Yes.
Yes, so, yeah, I think she's going to sit and talk to us. I don't blame you. Okay. Right, I'm going to hand over to you guys. Can I give you the clicker?
Yep.
And you press there. Should. All right.
Yep.
I'm hoping this will work.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
And hello to people from Market Harborough as well. It's lovely to see everyone today. I think the last time we were here must have been about 9 years ago. So perhaps some of you were here then. Can anyone remember? Yes? Oh, very good. Okay. So do you want to click? So we're Whit and Helen, and we've been serving with BMS in Thailand for the last 9 years. And you heard our story right at the beginning, so this is how it is now. We call it the talk location, 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 because we are now working in three locations. So Wang Deng is the first location that we went to when we first went out to Thailand 9 years ago, and Bandara, we've been working alongside a lady evangelist there for 3 years. And Mersan is a church up in the mountains in Sukhothai province, not far from us. It's a hill tribe church that we've come alongside to try to revive this church as well. And the fourth location is Dao Hai, which is the village where we live. So this is a map that shows you where we are. So on the left-hand side is the map of Thailand. And we're way up in the north, so in the lower part of the north of Thailand. And if you go to the picture on the right, you can see the two provinces that we work in, Utradit and Sukhothai. So we've got number one is Wang Deng, the first church that we planted. Number two is Bandara, where we're working now and helping the lady to start the church. And Mersan is the hill tribe church up in Sukhothai province. So this just shows you where we live. So you can see Wang Deng up there with the little harp. That's Wang Deng. And then Bandara church, that's been a little church that's been going for 2 years now. That's the green circle. And our village is Dao Hai, which is very close to Bandara. So we're helping a lot with that church.
I think Wang Deng and Dao Hai is about 10 miles away. And Bandara and Dao Hai is about 2 miles away. So,
yeah. So we can cycle there. It's close. We forgot to say the turtle jar. So Dao means turtle. Hai means jar. So the name of our village translated into English is turtle jar. Okay. Sorry. So that's what it looks like on a map, and this is what it looks like in reality. So on the top left-hand corner is Wang Deng Church. So that began 7 years ago with just a couple of believers, and now it's grown to a congregation of 20 to 30 people, if they all turn up. And then on the right is Bandara. That started 2 years ago with a couple, a handful of believers, and now there's a group of about 15, perhaps to 20 people on a Sunday morning. Bottom left is Mersan. This is the hill tribe church that we're helping. And their congregation had shrunk down from over 30 people to just 10 to 15 people. But now since we've been starting to help them, the congregation numbers are going up, and the people who kind of slipped away have started coming back to church. And then on the right, on bottom corner, that's Dao Hai, where we live. So we don't have a church there, but we do evangelism, we do visiting and praying for people in Dao Hai. And that's a Christmas outreach that we did in our village.
Because it's Tau Hai and Bandara is very location, very close to each other. And we actually encourage people who from Tau Hai will go to Bandara. Okay. And Bandara, you have to follow our story. We say it's quite small now in terms of the building. And upstairs is like a termite eating on the wood. So we've been looking for the house, the bigger one for rents and things like that for about a year or so. And we couldn't find the right location because it's far away or remote and all that, out of the hub of the community. So we actually, if you heard that we bought a piece of land just come up not long ago, and we pray again that maybe the Lord will be able to give us the provision, the seed they already gave us last year with the Wang Dang building. So hopefully that next year we're going to start thinking about to build the building for the Bandara so that they can have it be a permanent and to be in the hub of the community. So continue to pray for that. And we are excited about, and we're just a little bit nervous as well. When you're raising fund, it's always worries and things like that. But we trust the Lord will do again in wonderful provision.
Okay, and now there's a video.
And you just clicked it. Kick forward or kick?
Hi.
Oh,
hi.
Sorry.
We're Helen and Whit, and we're church planters who live and work in rural North Thailand. We're currently helping with three church plants in the villages of Wang Deng and Bandara in Utradit province and Mersan in Sukhothai province.
The Wang Deng church began 7 years ago with just a couple of believers. It now has a congregation of between 20 to 30 people, and the majority of these are brand new believers. It's been exciting to see the lives of many people being transformed. One of these is Sir, who prayed to accept Jesus at a couple of years ago, but who only attended church very sporadically. However, last September, Pastor Moses and a team of young people decided to help him. He runs a small recycling business, and his house and yard were full of rubbish. The team cleared it all away and put down gravel, so now it's clean and tidy. He was so impressed, he started attending Bible study and recommitted his life to Christ. Now he's a regular at church along with his partner, Guy. In fact, they recently got married and the Wang Dang church congregation all participated in the ceremony.
We are so grateful for the support from BMS, which helped to fund construction of the new church building in Wang Dang. Along with donations from friends in the UK and around the globe, we were able to open the building debt-free in October last year. Praise God for His amazing provision of this building. Pray that it may be a place that would draw many into the presence and knowledge of God.
2 years ago, we came alongside Pastor Arirad, a local evangelist, to help her begin a church plant in the village of Bandara. Our first worship service began with only two believers from the village, along with some volunteers from the Wang Deng congregation. More local people have since come to Christ, and we now have 12 to 15 adults attending on a Sunday morning. Marley is one of the original two, and she came to faith through the ministry of Pastor Arirad. She saw God answering her prayers in an amazing way and prayed to ask Jesus into her life. Since then, she has experienced the joy and peace of God as she walks daily with Him. She is now one of the leaders and serves enthusiastically as the church secretary. She also helps teach Sunday school and is sometimes a backup singer on the worship team. Mali is part of the visiting team and has brought many people along to church, including her own mother, who became a Christian recently.
The church plant in Mersan was begun a number of years ago, and at one point had about 30 members. However, for several years, they were without a pastor. and numbers dwindled by half. In 2022, they became part of our group, and we organized regular Sunday preachers for them, with WIT being one of these. Then last year, we received funding which enabled us to build a pastor's room. And in November, our prayers were answered when Pastor Newton moved in to be the church's first resident minister. He's working hard to build up the faith of the congregation and to encourage them to reach out to family, friends, and neighbors.
Pham is a lady in the Mae San congregation who has a testimony to share. Last year, she was suffering terribly from stomach pains. She regularly asked for prayer, but nothing improved. Eventually, she went to see a doctor and was diagnosed with gallstones. Since she doesn't yet have a Thai ID card, she was told she would need to pay quite a large sum of money for the operation. We agreed to find funding to help her, and we laid hands and prayed again. However, when she went for her pre-op scan, they found that all the gallstones had completely disappeared. She was also pain-free. Her family was so delighted that they invited the whole congregation to a feast in celebration. We live in the village of Dao Hai in Utradit, not too far from Bandara and Wang Deng. So we also do ministry locally, such as teaching English at home and in the local primary school, visiting and caring for those in need, and praying for the sick. Through this, we have been able to build some good relationships with folk in the village. We got to know Somsong and her husband Chalong just over a year ago, and now we visit them regularly. Somsong is a stroke victim who never fully recovered due to lack of follow-up physio. We have been praying for her as well as helping her with some exercises and have seen a small improvement. We also introduced her to know Jesus and regularly share Bible stories and pray with her. Praise God for our first believer in Dao Hai Village.
God is at work in northern Thailand, and He is transforming many lives. Your prayers make a big difference. And so, thank you so much for your faithful and ongoing prayer support. May God richly bless you all. Bye.
Okay, so there's just a few more things I like to say before Whit brings a word. One important thing about our churches is caring for the community. It's a way that people can see the love of Jesus coming through us. And recently, we've been able to help some children who've been abused or abandoned. The girl on the right, she was abused in her family home by a family member, and we were able to rescue her from that home with her parents' permission and the village headman permission. We took her to a boarding school, a Christian boarding school in Chiang Mai, and since she's been there, she's become a Christian, and her life has completely changed. She's very happy. She'd been there for 3 years, and she wants to stay there, not come home. And on the left-hand side is Suri, who was our first believer in Wang Deng, and she's a very caring and compassionate lady. When she heard that the two boys on the right had been abandoned by the mum and left with an alcoholic grandfather who didn't care for them and let them just roam around and sleep in the bushes, she took them in, and now the church is also helping to support her to care for those boys. So caring for the community, something that's very important. Another thing that's important in all our churches is discipleship and leadership training. This just shows some people from the Wang Deng Church. The pastors take them visiting, and they learn how to share their story. they learn how to pray for people. In the center is Bible study. This is really important. Everybody in our churches does Bible study once a week, and especially the leaders, they're doing kind of in-depth Bible study to learn all about the Bible, like an overview of the Bible. And then we also send our leaders and members for training in discipleship or training in evangelism. And the bottom right is an evangelism training session that they went to.
We'd like to thank the Lord for the wonderful provision to replace Moses and Mary. If you follow all stories that Moses and Mary left us in March, so it's very quick to be able to find another replacement, which is quite unusual. Thai people, they don't to go to live in the village. Unlike the British people here, like to leave the village. You know, that is something that we've been struggling about, but really quick. God's answers to our prayer is wonderful. Now, the lady on the top picture on the left is now our minister. And also the guy who sat behind that, he is our youth worker. So his youth worker's name, Sky, and that's his nickname, and the lady's name, Neng. So we thank God for this wonderful provisions of a new pastors at church.
So another thing that's important is the youth. And we have amazing youth, especially in Wangdaeng and Bandara. The picture on the left shows the youth from Wangdaeng, and most of them are involved in leadership of some kind or another, worship leading, football coaching, and the guy behind Whit, he's been at Bible College for a year now. He's just started his second year of Bible College. We hope to train up our young people to be leaders in the future as well. On the right are some of the young people from the Bandara Church.
We are now focusing on our local people, local members, local leaders, because if you want them to stay in the village, we need the local. We want the lasting, you want the kind of long-term thing. You need local people who lives there and, you know, don't move anywhere. We're just learning from that people from the outside. They're here for the short term. They're not stay forever. So that's what we are shifting, so that we are praying. And would you pray with us that we'll be able to encourage and send the young people to go into the full time and study in the Bible College and things like that. But the problem is we need to find funding to support them, give them the scholarship like that. So pray with us. We want the church, local people stay and last. And this is what we really want to see that. Okay.
So the final thing is future sustainability. So currently we're supported by BMS. The pastors are mostly supported by BMS. But that's not going to continue forever. And we want our churches to be able to be sustainable in the future. So a couple of months ago, we went to see this project in the northeast of Thailand where they grow mushrooms, and through this mushroom project, they can support the pastor and they can support 10 other families in their congregation. So the people there have said they will, if we are interested, they will come and help us set up a project like this in Wangdaeng and in Bandara.
We also learn from this model of the church, and we say that it's very important if our members had jobs. They will stay, they will stick, they will not move, they're not migrating to the big city or elsewhere. So this is, I think, if you are plant a church in the rural areas, you make sure that they have jobs. You know, and then another thing we're facing about the teenager is do the further education in somewhere else. That also we are also. But we pray, we're building all these young girls who go in, and they will come back. You know, that's kind of a relationship, a thing that we need to be able to follow them up. And when they go to church elsewhere, across, like Bam is one of the worship leaders. She's reading law at the moment, the first year. And we sent, she's not far from us, but we connect her with the church, the local church there. So that kind of thing that we are trying to do there. So keep being with us in our journey. We want to say thank you. We appreciate so much, and we thank you for your partnership. What a privilege and what an honor that we, that our Almighty God, who the Creator, who really want us to be His partner to expand His kingdom elsewhere. So, you are playing a very such an important role, and without your guys, without the people, the churches in the UK that are sending us, we cannot do this kind of work at all. So we are so thankful for that. We are here to give praise to Jesus. We didn't plan for 3 or 4 churches that we have to look overseeing, but God has opened that door for us, and we just want to give thanks to God. And we are here to tell that how much we are really appreciative of your support, and give glory to God. Shall we give thanks to God and keep on praying for that? Shall we pray together? And I'm going to lead you into prayer. Okay. Father, we are here. That's okay. We want to say thank you how much that you love us and that you have planned and purposes in our life. Father, you are the missionary God. You are so compassionate. And you reach out to us, and then you send Father God, Jesus, your Son. Father God, to make things right, to reconcile with us, and you will say that, go and make disciples. Father, when you were here, Jesus, you told us about to go and make all disciples to all the world, that they will come to know you. Father God, I pray, Lord, there are many places, Father God, Lord, need Jesus, even though here in the UK. But we're so thankful that you have been at work always. And then you will bring the awakening into the churches, into the people's lives this day. Thank you, Father God. We just want to say thank you. We pray right now, Father God, we thank you for Thailand. We thank you for the work that you're doing. We thank you so much, Father God, that the national level or the Protestant church is working together in unity, and they're trying to reach out, Father God, that we're going to celebrate the 200 years anniversary in year 2028. Thank you, Father God, for that kind of cooperation. Thank God for the unity that we're working together with each province. We thank you, Father. I pray, and we pray together right now that you will move the hearts of people. Father, we're responding and to the great commission, and Father God, to say the harvest is plentiful now. Oh Lord God, but the workers are few. But we pray that you, the Lord of the harvest, will raise more workers and send people out to where they are. And also you will do that in Thailand, Father God, that you will equip, that you will raise up more people to go to where they are placed. They never heard about you. Father, we pray that more disciples, more people, more believers will come, and they will be evangelized, they will be discipled, and they will be equipped to go and teach and preach and tell more about you. That every village, they will hear the good news of Jesus. And Father, I pray there will be believers as well. I pray that the church will be planted more. I pray, Father God, that the more people will go because of the obedience of their calling that you have for them. Father, please help us, and please do that, Father. And we need you, Lord, to come and have mercy and have peace. Have mercy and give us peace. And Father God, give us the church responding to the calling of Jesus, that we hear the voice of God. Father, we are not just sitting around, but we have a goal and do the work that you have for us, Father. Thank you. We pray for Thailand. We pray for the church that in Masan, in Wang Dang, in Bandara, in Tau Hai will continue to grow, Lord. That your name will be glorified, being made known, being exalted high across, Father God, that Sukhothai and also in Uttaradit. We thank you, Father, for this. But here's our praise. We ask all these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Now we have a reading. Okay, so the reading today is from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, "Go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Candake, the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and walk along beside the carriage." Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" The man replied, "How can I, unless someone instructs me?" And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. The passage of scripture he had been reading was this: "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else?" So beginning with this same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. As they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized?" He ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Meanwhile, Philip found himself further north, at the town of Azotus. He preached the good news there, and in every town along the way, until he came to Caesarea.
Thank you very much. I would like to ask you to do something that unusual you've never done before, I think. You just say to your neighbors, left or right, say, "I got the good news for you. Jesus loves you, and so do I." Can you do that for me, please? "I got good news for you. Jesus loves you, and so do I." Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Do you know that Jesus loves you? Do you know that? This is the good news. And so do I. We love. God wants us to love him with all his mind, his heart and soul, and love neighbors ourselves. Thank you. Thank you so much. I chose the passage because it's a Pentecost last Sunday, wasn't it? And it is the work of the Holy Spirit. Without the work of the Holy Spirit, yeah, we can't do anything. And I think this is a story that we, if you read this chapter 8 of Acts, you will find that the early passage tells that Philip was in Samaria. And he's doing such a great work there, preaching, and we were at a big crowd gathered and doing a miracle, signs and wonders and all that happening. Right? In Samaria. If you do see it, I might have to click. Yeah, I'm clicked. Yep. And you see that what he's doing. Let's start number one, two, three. Was actually from the Jerusalem, you know, and work, and the persecution took place and all that, and he just go to, and then to Judea, and then to Samaria. And Samaria, that he doing great, wonderful, and then he go, call, the Lord called, and then that what he said, the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip to go, and go to where? The road to Gaza. And that kind of work. And then after that, when he finished the job, but God called him in Azotus, he could do also anyway. And then this is where sometimes God, I don't know, God called us, got out of our success, accomplishment, excitement or whatever that it could be in our situation, and go to the places, just one individual, one person. You know, the one person that need to hear, need to understand about the good news and the love of Jesus. I don't know, I experienced, I was in the south of Thailand when we planted the church. I was, wow, in a high spirit. I was really, you know, in the village, the people, they gave me, show me the great respect. And Helen, and we've been praying, and honor your parents. And her father was alone and not well and were thinking the family were taking them. And then there's this just sense that we need, you know, to obey that. And we decided to come back. Well, I never thought about coming to live in the UK. Never. I met her in Australia. We married in Australia. We loved Melbourne and what I graduated. And I really wanted to go back to Australia, to Melbourne, and the church over there supporting us, for, you know, in our 14 years of planting churches. And we love if say one day we're going to get our children to be educated in Melbourne and all that. But God had other way. God said, go to the UK. And I came back. Somebody in the south of Thailand, become a nobody in Thrapston. Anybody know the Thrapston village? Hands up. And I was probably identified with Philip. That situation, I know my how it felt, but I think the obedience, and then that's what I really want to say, that led by the Spirit, Philip the evangelist, Spirit-led obedience. The obedience is the key, and I have to learn that. It's always against our will. Always. If we want to obey what the Lord is speaking to us, or what the Lord says to us, is always against our will or determination or our plan. But now, you see, verse 26, the angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the Lord, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And he doesn't know, but he just obeyed. He didn't know what it's going to be like. I didn't expect what it's going to be like life in the Thrapston, looking after my father-in-law. Wow, but obey. And I care for, you know, Helen's dad, and he loved me. I thank the Lord he loved me. We spent 3.5 years. I was nobody indeed. But what are you doing here? I was a carer, really, and hard for me. And I think that I imagine that it will be hard for Philip as well to just get out of this kind of war, you know, all excitement, all the great things I said, accomplishment, revival is going on there in Samaria. What the Lord is doing with me. I don't know, you wondered about that or not. What the Lord is doing with me right now in the situation. You know, but it's obey. If you listen and you hear, and I believe that, and I think that would say that the Holy Spirit may call us away from the comfortable and successful to obey in quiet, personal ways. Okay? That's what I come and I learn, and I just struggle for about 3 or 4 years after that when Helen's dad passed away. We did a great job. We believe that. And no regrets. And eventually, God just lifted me up. I became a pastor of Frampton Baptist Church. And was just so grateful for that. And I think what happened, when it happened that Philip, the Spirit led, told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. When you obey, you know, when you don't know, you don't see the whole picture. I didn't see the whole picture. You know, when you step like Abraham, when God called him to go, did he see the whole picture? No. He never understand the whole picture. But what he did, obey. Does he know, Abraham know that he's going to where? No. It's complete like what you are stupid. Right? You're foolish. You're not really a good man thinking. You should be the planner. Should be, you know, everything. It doesn't mean that we don't need to plan. It doesn't say that in the Bible. In Christian life, it doesn't mean we can't plan. We can't do this our way. You know, but the thing that, are you listening? Are you listening to the voice, to the guidance, to the direction of the Holy Spirit? You and I, are we listening to what he's saying to us? Are we? That's the most important. And I think that what happened to Abraham and happened because, you know what? Obedience often begins before understanding the full picture. And we don't want to make anything if you don't get the full picture, the understanding, do we? We want to do things with our own understanding, right? And then what the Bible says, trust the Lord with on your, what? Do not rely on your own understanding. It's just about because we don't go to trust God if we don't have understanding. The whole thing, don't we? This is a difficult bit. Very difficult bit and challenging for us. That's why we said, the Lord said, go, Philip. I don't know he go which way, how he go. You know, the Lord just zoop, right? Just right, you know, we don't know how he go. We imagine with me, it had to be supernatural way. No aeroplane those days, no aeroplane. Yeah, no balloon, no. No helicopter, nothing. But it's by the supernatural way the Lord brought to here, and then the Spirit told Philip, go to the chariot. See? And then we see the Spirit-led conversation. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah prophet. Say, the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Right? And then this is really, we need to, and this is the listening. This is, I don't know, the young people today, you know, there's so many voices. There's so many things that you look online, and, you know, anything come up, TikTok or whatever, the you know, Facebook messages coming, so many voices, so many things. You're listening. What you are listening? Who are you listening to? Are you listening to yourself? Or are you really listening to God? And Philip really listened to the Spirit. Say to him, go in here. And then that led in leading. And after that, what happened? Philip listened first. And Spirit led. But Philip had to engage the moment. This is our role. This is our part we have to do. Right? We have to engage. This is how God works. God leading, we follow. We engage. God leading us, we engage. If we don't do it, God lead and we stop. I make a lot of mistakes, but the Lord spoke to me many times. I got things in my mind. When you read the Bible, you inspire and all that. Do that. Do this. Do that. You know what I mean? And it's hard to do. Talk to a person that you don't like. Forgive those people you don't like. oh, be generous. Oh, no, I can't. You know what I mean? There's so many times, so many things, you know, go tell or share that good news and love, spend more time with. The Lord said to us a lot of time like that. When you read the Bible and you feel that, oh, I want, but I refuse a lot of time. But when I did obey, when I did listen, great things happen. But you have to engage what the Lord, the Spirit leading you. And that was just really interesting. The Ethiopian is reading the book of Isaiah 53, the suffering zone, God's perfect timing. That was really God is leading all the time. It's not Philip. Philip, only his way to his job to do it, doing what the Lord said. This is the work of the Holy Spirit and doing that. God prepare hearts before we ever speak. Our job is to be ready and available. Be ready and available. Is it difficult to do or simple? Be ready and available. Are you available? Am I available? Yeah. That is his commitment. This is a way to make to God. This is something we have found it. The church found it very difficult, very hard. We try to encourage people to go out in our church. You know, we try to train evangelism. Try to say, we set goal for evangelism. We set goal for disciples. We say, go. We have to do. We encourage them to do the work. You know, but it's not. Sometimes people, I'm not available. That's it. If I'm not available, but he wants you just willing, available, ready for it. Are you ready? Yeah? If you say, when I say ready, can you say amen? Are you ready?
Amen.
Oh, that's good. Amen. Ready for that. God prepare hearts. Be reminded, God prepare the hearts before we ever speak. Our job is to be ready. And Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. That's all you have to do. This is all you have to do. Tell people about the good news. Our job is to tell them, I got the good news for you. Jesus loved you. Do you know that? He had a plan for you. He loved you. And I think that people need to hear that. There are people in this world, they don't feel loved. They don't feel special. They don't feel value. They don't feel their lives matter. You know? And they don't just waste it. You know? But they have to be reminded there is a someone. The creator of you loves you. And we love you. We care for you. We love you. You know? We're not just saying it. We do. And this is good news about Jesus. And it is about from prophet to fulfilled, he explained like dots, you know, he connect the dots, this is important, you know, we run a lot of things in our church, you know, what we have, we have the, in Thailand, you know? we do football ministry, teaching English, career project, basket, weaving, sewing machine, you know, and then we do all kinds of things that try to provide. We do teach English at home at school, volunteer to do that, you know. And then what happened? We need to connect all those things, be able to find opportunity to tell Jesus to them. Okay, don't forget, Mother Wai, you just provide social services. Then Philip began with the very passage of scripture and told him the good news about, and then Spirit led the spawn. Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? See that? And then he did that. And what happened to that? The Ethiopians, you know, respond with faith and action, and he wanted to be baptized immediately. See that the work God doing? God had orchestrated this moment from Scripture to send the world. Everything God is doing that the work. what we do. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. Took Philip away. How? But no. Imagine supernatural way. Finish one job, individual. And you know, the history of the church tells us that this Ethiopian, you know, went back and planted a church. You don't need to get about the multitude, the big group, a big crowd. Focus on individual. You see anybody individual, and you can make everything start from the small, the individual, and it will grow. You don't know what impact you're going to make. You don't really know. And then Philip's job was done. He obeyed, shared Christ, and the Spirit moved him on. You see? What I learned, somehow the Holy Spirit leads individuals for the sake of individuals. Individuals. Focus. You have any friends, you have any person that you think that you want to spend time, and then you pray that is your goal, your target, the one you bring. Yeah, bring them to Jesus, do it. God cared about one soul enough to of revival preaching to the desert. Obedience precedes clarity. Philip didn't know why at first, but follow his step. God set up divine appointments. When we are listening to the Spirit, we find that he is already working ahead of us. Our part is obedience. The Spirit part is result. Philip didn't convert the Ethiopians. God did. Philip was just faithful. See, we didn't do anything. We didn't plan in the beginning. We only wanted one Wangdang church to be established. That's what we are thinking. But the Lord is doing amazing way. He's expanding his work. And thank you. And just obedience. Obey the Lord, what the Lord speaks to you. May that you and me, we journey together, okay, in partnership with God's kingdom. You know, your prayer, your financial support, your whatever you input that you have, it make a lot of difference and make a great impact on people's lives. Amen? And you need to be excited, because I'm very excited and very delighted, and you know, to be with you. And you know, I just want to say thank you so much. But the Lord that have provided that we are together, you know, in, you know, partnership with the Lord in expand God's kingdom, and many lives have been transformed. And that is a wonderful thing. For those who are in Christ Jesus, there is a new creation. The old thing has gone, and the new things come. Amen? And there's only Jesus, only that you remain in him, only the way, if you want your life to be transformed, you have to get connected with Jesus. Amen? With his word, with prayer, with the life that you're going to give to him. And this is what is going to happen. You and us, we're working together for God's kingdom. Hallelujah. Shall we give praise to Jesus together? Shall we? Hallelujah. By clapping our hand and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. Normally, I'm not like that. I see Matt today excited. Now, I just follow his example.
Oh, thank you so much, brother, for coming and sharing with us. That's absolutely wonderful. The music group are going to come up, and we're going to finish our time of worship together by singing a couple of hymns to finish off with as we give thanks to God for his endless mercies. You know, I guess sometimes it's difficult, isn't it? Saying yes to the will of God is difficult, but we lift our voices and we praise God in the good times and in the bad times. We always keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. So let's stand together and sing this thing.
Yes.
Precious and loving God, thank you that your love is so awesome. It's just so, we're drenched in your love, Father God. Now you've built us up. Send us out. Help us to be obedient and to be the ones saying, send me, Lord. Help us to have ears to hear your spirit as the week comes upon us, Lord. So that every time you prompt us and give us a nudge, point someone out to us, that we are obedient. And that we step forward just to share how much we have found that Jesus' love can transform our lives. and may others be brought to you through that partnership, Lord Jesus. It's all about you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Have a wonderful week, folks. Of course, we're going to have a time now of fellowship, and we've got some lunch for you all to join. Please stay, whether you're a member, whether you're a visitor. Please stay and enjoy some fellowship lunch. And you never know, come and speak to Whit and Helen. I'm sure they'd love to speak to people. Are we bringing tables in here? What was the plan? We're bringing tables in here. Right, okay, we're going to bring tables in here. So we're going to have a quick transformation. I think this is a moment for fathers to grab tables and bring them in. Bless you all.